I'd like now to welcome back to the program James Anaquad Kleinert. His documentary, Wild Horses and Renegades, screens at the CCA in Santa Fe on Saturday, October 22nd at 3 o'clock, and it's part of the Santa Fe Film Festival. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, Charlotte.
So we had you on earlier this year, or last year, I think, talking about cut of the film that you were working on at that time, and this whole issue of wild horse roundups keeps evolving almost faster than you can keep up with it as a filmmaker. What's going on? Where is this happening? What's happening?
Well, the Bureau of Land Management is continuing on their quest to manage wild horses for extinction in the American West, and what we're seeing in their place is replaced by oil, gas, mining corporations, corporate cattle grazing. So we're really seeing the very last vestige of the American West being eradicated right now. There have been a number of roundups this past summer. There's going to be more this fall. Most recently, a judge in Nevada ruled that helicopter roundups are inhumane, which is a big victory for the wild horses. So we're hoping that's going to slow things down, and along with the release of Wild Horses and Renegades, it's a must-see documentary film exposing the truth behind the eradication of America's wild horses.
What are helicopter roundups?
Helicopter roundups are used to gather wild horses in what are called herd management areas. Most of them are on Bureau of Land Management land, but not all. And they usually push the horses over long distances. They'll run them for miles over very rugged terrain. In many cases, the horses are exhausted. They do damage to their hooves, their legs. Very, very hard on horses, and the film clearly shows this. People will be appalled when they see the brutality that happens to these wild horses. The horses are then subsequently rounded up into catch pens, and again, more brutality happens there. The horses will hit their heads on the very rugged, blunt fencing, and other type of harassment happens as well.
You showed the film in Telluride this past summer. What happened?
Well, the interesting thing about Telluride is we filmed most of the film out in Disappointment Valley, the Spring Creek herd management area, and that's roughly about 60 miles from Telluride as the crow flies. And most Telluridians did not know about the wild horses out there. And when they viewed the film, they were shocked. And probably more importantly, they were outraged and they took quick action to try and stop a roundup that the BLM did about a month ago. Unfortunately, the roundup was not stopped. But again, with our cameras and everything that evolved after the screening, we greatly exposed the BLM again for their direct violations of the 1971 Free Roaming Wild Horse and Burro Act.
You have a lawsuit going on against the BLM, is that correct?
That is correct. What we're suing for is, like I just mentioned, numerous violations of the 1971 Free Roaming Wild Horse and Burro Act, lack of sufficient notice to local governments and interested parties. That happened here in Telluride, Colorado, and it has happened all over the American West. Herd management areas illegally reduced since 1971, and the failure to mitigate loss of water sources allowed wild horse populations numbers set artificially low and genetically unsustainable. In an HMA, the herd is supposed to take priority over grazing and mining mineral extraction. Short-term holding is inhumane, and long-term holding violates the 1971 Free Roaming Wild Horse and Burro Act.
Now, let me ask you this. What is the BLM's job? What is their mission, so to speak, or their charter?
They are the stewards of our public lands, and I suggest people go and read their mission statement on their website and then compare that to viewing what the film shows. I did interview a man from the BLM, a former employee, who said if the BLM simply followed their mission statement, things would be running a lot more smoothly.
So in your documentary and what your research has turned up, basically the BLM is in cahoots with the extractive industry, whether it be uranium mining, oil and gas, or whatever, and the wildlife on the surface of Bureau of Land Management land is basically up for grabs and not considered a priority in any way.
Well, I wouldn't go to as far as to say not considered a priority. They would argue that point. But as the film points out, you'll see where the wildlife, specifically the wild horses, are being simply removed for the purpose of the larger extractive industries to come in. And we give several examples of it. We have Jim Baca, the former director of the Bureau of Land Management under Clinton. And his testimony in the film is very, very revealing. And he flat out says, you have to realize that our public lands are run by the oil, gas, mining, and cattle industry. So I think that says enough right there.
So the movement that you are part of, what is your goal?
Well, we want to use this film to educate a vast audience. And we want that audience to write their legislators, write President Obama, and ask for reform within the Bureau of Land Management, reinstate some of the legislation that was removed in the 1971 Free Roaming Wild Horse and Burro Act. And now we are taking a federal lawsuit to court against the Bureau of Land Management. And we hope to have them convicted on numerous counts of violation of the 1971 Free Roaming Wild Horse and Burro Act, hoping that this will lead to responsible change within the department itself.
Are there any people within the Bureau of Land Management who are your allies, who feel the way that you do?
I have interviewed a number of BLM ex-employees. Actually, some are still employees. And yes, I think many of these people are very upset by the orders that come down from high, from Washington, D.C. I don't want to name names here, but I've spoken with numerous people within the BLM who are very upset by the way the agency is run. Also, if you look up, it's called the Peer Report, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. These are people within federal agencies that actually are doing great work. And there's a peer report that was done on the Del Rio investigation. And this is where wild horses and people within the BLM were actually going to be convicted of shipping wild horses to slaughter. Unfortunately, the investigation was shut down. It was going to incriminate a lot of people within the BLM. And so there was a cover-up. But, I urge your viewers to look up the peer report, Wild Horses to Slaughter, online.
Is that what happens to the horses that get rounded up? They all go to slaughter, or what happens to them?
Well, they don't go directly to slaughter. Okay, they're rounded up, and they go to short-term holding facilities. And these facilities, they're across the American West. And then some of the horses are offered up for adoption. The public can come and adopt them. However, they deem horses 10 years of age and older unadoptable. So most of those horses end up going to what are called long-term holding facilities. And most of these holding facilities are in Oklahoma, a few in Kansas. And their fate is questionable at that point. In August of this year, there was a semi-truckload or two semi-truckloads of wild horses caught coming out of those long-term holding facilities going to Mexican slaughterhouses. Currently, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Salt Lake City is investigating this. So, again, I can't really comment any further in that, but there is an investigation going on about horses from long-term holding being shipped to slaughter.
When horses are living basically on their own in the wild in the West, what are their lives like? Do they move around in family groups? What is their kind of social pattern?
It's really amazing. They have incredible family bonds. Just amazing to see the dominant band stallion, the lead mare, and their family unit, how they live as a family unit, how they travel around, how they look out for each other. just an incredible group that supports one another in surviving in the wild. These horses are amazingly resilient. They can live on a small amount of forage, sparse forage. Their hooves are just amazing. You don't find domestic horses with hooves and lower legs, canter bones, like you find in the wild horses. Years of evolution of surviving in the wild has made these horses into what they are. And they're incredible animals that have the ability to survive and live and thrive in the American West.
I can't help but think that if alternative energy sources got a whole lot of money put into research and development and solar power were able to compete with coal and so on, these problems would go away because the competition for that open land wouldn't be there in the way that it is now.
Yeah, I love your idea. And that's, I think, what most of us are hoping for, that as we're making the move to alternative energies, renewable energies, we're going to see much better stewardship of the land, much better care of the land, much less exploitation, polluting of the land, and the horses and all the other wildlife species will be allowed to live in harmony. That's the vision.
James Anaquad Kleinert is a filmmaker. His documentary is called Wild Horses and Renegades. It screens at the CCA here in Santa Fe on Saturday, the 22nd of October at 3 o'clock as part of the Santa Fe Film Festival. Thank you so much for being with us, and I encourage everybody to go see this very important film.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte.